Astounding days in the history of America, friends, fans, casual listeners. Today we gather as participants, advocates, and witnesses during these incredible days. What we are watching is unique. We see the greatest empire foisted upon either the cusp of failure and collapse, or perhaps a new birth. It's as if this great land, the mother of liberty itself, would fall into a fetid swamp of lies. Yet somehow, hopefully not too late, a seeming miracle opened up the earth, coughing up a machine itself belching 650,000 emails. Is this really a coincidence? When the powers that be, the president, Department of Justice, and FBI conspired to rig the game for Hillary and Clinton Incorporated, at the last second, one wounded conscience arose and croaked out, "Reopen. Reopen." And the stories that followed, how Department of Justice head Loretta Lynch, who had already met with Hillary's spouse days before the original decision, tried to stop James Comey's FBI supposedly rogue actions. And this, we are told, after the Department of Justice had just thrown the brakes on the Clinton Foundation investigation. So now the mainstream media reels as if cast into the darkest night, intuiting the scandal is too big now to ignore. Prevarications, lies, so large and staggering as to make a mockery of Hillary's defense. And Huma's humble hem of the garment devotion, Wiener's boundless lusts, media collusion and Obama's incompetence meet in a perfect storm. Media coup d'etat is met by an epic maelstrom. Devilish partisans like Harry Cyclops Reed rail at the unfairness of it all. But the anti-elites like you and I, the anti-elite masses, erupt in laughter and cheers. In the clearing smoke stands Donald Trump at this moment of moments, at his moment of moments. One feels he senses that this is the time of his life. He must make a stand, speak about American principles, and fight for something beyond himself, something larger. As Hillary writhes on the open stage like a halved worm dropped into alcohol, let's ask God for guidance and aid during this time of greatest opportunity but most dreadful danger in our irreplaceable, beloved republic. Good morning. Kelly O'Connell here. It is 6:09. I really was so astounded when the investigation was opened up and my buddy David called me and said, have you seen what's going on? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you're not going to believe it this time. And I go on. And he said, well, they've reopened the investigation. So, really, just so unbelievable what's going on here. And now the fury and anger at James Comey that had been directed at him from the right when he stated that there was not enough evidence to go after Hillary now is poured against him, and Hillary Hillary and her people are going after James Comey and really trying to do whatever they can to totally obliterate him. But can you imagine that? And now I just was doing some little bit of last minute research when I went to bed and saw that they had found this at the beginning of October. So about a month ago, they'd found this laptop with this information on it. But the issue was that I don't think that they had a subpoena at that moment, but they knew that they had this massive, can you imagine that? A computer with 650,000 emails. Now, many people have speculated that they must have found something massive in there to reopen the investigation. And there's a lot of people, there's people on the right that are saying, you know, James Comey did something that was wrong. It was something that he ought not have done to have reopened this. Then somebody else is saying, well, you know, the fact of the matter is that they didn't really reopen the investigation. The investigation was still open because the investigation continues to be open until the statute of limitations runs. So it would be inappropriate to claim that it was closed and now it's reopened, but that there's something that's gone on that I think there's a couple of levels to this. One level is, what the first level is, that it's just a statement of reopening or whatever you want to call it. But at another level, what is going on is that I think that there's something that has happened to this man, James Comey, who had this incredible reputation as being beyond reproach, and that he never politicized anything, coming out with this laughable response to this investigation. And you know, the strange thing about the whole thing, the reason that I thought his conscience was kind of torn over it, even when he stated that there was, you know, no prosecutor anywhere would go after Hillary, would prosecute her. The reason that I thought that he was torn by his conscience on that is he laid out the prima facie, or the basic outline of a prosecution on her, and then say, see what I mean? You know, he goes through all of the elements of a prosecution and says, see, not hiding anything here. And so one of the interesting stories that's come out, and I got it from WorldNet Daily, was that it was stated that I'm looking for my article here, although I could just Google it, but I've got it in my list of things, was that his wife had said to him, you need to do something, because the fact of the matter is that you're losing your best people. So after this decision was made, then his best people started to put in their letters of resignation. And there's the story in this article that people would walk by him in the hall and wouldn't say hello to him and wouldn't even return his greetings. And he had, I guess, the sense that he was being isolated and rejected in his own party, or his own business, his own his own bureau department. And, you know, it's just, it is an amazing time. Now, does this mean Trump is going to win? I have no idea. We're in Alice in Wonderland's House of Mirrors right now because we really don't know what the story of the real polls is. We know that the media is colluding with the Hillary campaign because it's been outed through WikiLeaks that major journalists have admitted that they're not just pulling for them, but they're working with them, and they're even writing articles with the input of the Clinton campaign. In the meantime, there is a hemorrhage of information that's coming out of WikiLeaks and other sources, and so let me just get you. I mean, this is just the story of stories. I really cannot believe this whole thing has happened. But I mean, I think really, you know, people around the country have been praying and have been hoping that something derails the Clinton train. I've never seen such collusion and such agreement with someone who is basically an immoral person at a very high level. You might say, well, you know, people always say, how did Hitler arise? And I'm not saying that Hillary is Hitler, but in any way, shape, or form. What I am saying is, people want to know how a great country falls, and Germany was a great country before Hitler came along, although it had been through World War I and was devastated. But it was a great culture, and it was a culture in which an enormous amount of religious and scholarly activity came out of. I mean, to this day, German scholarship in the world of academia is second to none. But how did they lose? They were a Christian, a Protestant, a Catholic nation. How did they lose it so bad that they allowed the Nazism to arise? And I think, you know, the culture gets seduced by ideas. It gets, you know, in our case, I think that we have fallen asleep, basically, and we've been led away from the path by this media that doesn't have any principles other than wanting power. And it's the same as everybody else in the government and in the university system. It's like this collusion of the most influential forces, Hollywood and mainstream media and the academic enterprises out there, a university system and the government at the highest levels, is only interested in power. And so we are being seduced away from what America used to be, and we're being shamed into dropping what America used to stand for. And then this one person who stands up, he's flawed. But I mean, it's almost as if the flaws in this guy make him more attractive because he knows he's flawed and he's still fighting. I think for something, for some sense of America that was lost a while back that people still remember. Because once you lose the memory of greatness that you've lived out, it doesn't really matter anymore, because then that culture is vanquished. Anyway, here's a little bit from Larry Kudlow. FBI has been in full revolt since July, ready to leak.
First it was Republicans, now it's Democrats, and now the FBI's reputation is at stake.
It is, and this is just the worst possible situation for the FBI, for the country, for Hillary Clinton, certainly. For Hillary Clinton to go nuclear on Comey yesterday was a deliberate decision. Mm-hmm. They're trying to rally the base, right. And she did this in Daytona. She did this going then to an historically African-American college and had a huge rally there on the football field. She's really now taking this to Comey, and they made a deliberate decision to do this. If she is elected, she has to live with James Comey, who has a 10-year term. That is a very hostile situation and a dangerous situation. Let me just also point out, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, of course, in Ireland today, said he has not been notified, nor is the State Department. In other words, Comey did not know what these emails were, or whether they were at all work-related, and that is the question that is raising so many concerns.
Go ahead, Larry. to Andrew's point, I agree with the first part, but what I'm hearing from everybody, I mean, I have some sources in the FBI and former district attorneys, the FBI is in full revolt right now. The FBI has been in full revolt since the decisions made last summer.
Not full revolt. Okay. There's been a lot of, I mean, it's, let's, their agents, let's not say full revolt.
All right, I'll
I
think say that's... semi-full revolt, because what I'm getting at is, if Comey hadn't said what he said to Congress and the rest of the world, it would have leaked. It would have leaked. That whole building was ready to leak that they had discovered this new source with Wiener and Abedin. So I don't think Comey had much chance here, and I think the FBI is badly divided.
But, Audi, I think he didn't have much.
All right. And some of the speculation is, you know, Comey's wife said, you're losing too many good agents. You need to do this, something about this. On the alternative, they say that the Wiener investigation was breaking open in such a way that all of these emails would be discovered. And it was a cache that was so large and so juicy that he had to announce it, and that the chips falling where they may. It is extraordinary that Hillary Clinton's assistant had in her house a cache of 650,000. And they're just saying there, well, what if these are all personal? That, I mean, the stuff that's coming, the speculation that people are making now, the idea that the emails were personal. 650,000 email personal emails. Are you nuts? Obviously, this lady, whether she was told by Hillary or did it through some kind of crazy instinct, or maybe was just didn't want to bother with it, has left a treasure trove. I mean, this is like finding, for an archaeologist to find an important ancient city that people only knew about through his, you know, ancient historians. It's an incredible treasure trove, and there has to be stuff in there. And other people have speculated that there must be something in this trove that is so juicy that you just had to immediately announce it. And we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tom.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, could you leave the poor lady alone? Because she was just talking about yoga.
Well,
most of those emails were all about yoga.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yoga and yogurt. Anything else, Tom?
Yeah, could you play the clip where the FBI guy was going, you know, we know you made terrible mistakes and stuff like that, but we forgive you?
Yeah, all right, I'll find it. Thanks a lot, Tom. All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, well, I'll try to find that thing. I've got, in the meantime, a little bit of Al Di Meola for you this week. Who some people say is the greatest living guitarist. Of course, all of these titles are meaningless, but he's a tremendously talented guitarist from New Jersey originally, if you think nothing good comes out of New Jersey, and made a huge impact on the music scene when he broke out and has worked a lot with Paco de Lucía from Spain, who they did a groundbreaking album with. Anyway, this is Mediterranean Sundance Live. We'll be right back. 623 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be right back. And I got a lot more for you. So I've been thinking about this, whether what James Comey did was the right thing. There's a couple of different issues here, I think, but one of which is, let's just speculate that James Comey, in the face of the response from the initial decision to not prosecute Hillary, let's just say he came to the conclusion over time that he was mistaken. What should he do? Well, if he was mistaken, then maybe the way to deal with it would be to reopen it. Or, yeah, you know, I mean, now a lot of people will say, you know, there's a system out there. There's an the organizations have ways of doing things. And no matter what, he should not have stepped outside of those rules. And I think the rule was promulgated. It was passed 4 years ago by Eric Holder, who was the head of the Department of Justice, that the FBI is not to be used, which is not to make decisions that it could influence political campaigns. And I think realistically, if you went into the activities of the Holder Justice Department, he did that himself. Now, there's the claim from Harry Reid, Harry Cyclops Reid, the guy that lost an eye in a exercise accident. There's the claim from him that Comey may have violated the Hatch Amendment in the FBI being involved in political things. So, but let's just say Comey came to the conclusion of that that the law had been broken to the level where Hillary should have been prosecuted, and it was a huge mistake. Does that mean that he has to do nothing and say nothing and just stand on the sidelines as Hillary gets swept into office? And I guess my response to that is, I mean, wouldn't you be saying that the only thing that matters is rules? Now, remember, the guy that was Al Capone was locked up, died in prison, died of syphilis, whatever. He was locked up for tax fraud, not for killing all the people he did and everything. So, although this is coming back with the same information. So what would be wrong with Comey making it right if he made a mistake? On the other hand, there is this idea out there that he had to do this, number one, for self-preservation, because this massive treasure trove was going to come out, and he had to go after it. He couldn't, maybe according to this theory, when they're looking for Wiener's naked pictures that he sent to this 15-year-old girl, he couldn't go after the 650,000 emails because it would have been at some point discovered, or it would have leaked out that there was all this email out there, you know, 500,000, more than 500,000, almost 750,000 emails that were directly on point, when we know that Hillary already wiped out 30,000. And the question is, are those 30,000 in the 650,000? The idea that these are all, I saw an article that put out that was talking about, was just describing the talking points that had gone out to the media. And it's amazing how influential these things are, that the Hillary campaign had passed around the idea that these were duplicates. Now, were there 650,000 emails to begin with? I mean, it is just so absolutely astounding how the media makes up these things and then argues and falls in love with its own, basically, cover up. Anyway, I'm just challenging the idea that if he reopened it, he did such a terrible thing. Here's a little clip from Fox on substantial reason for Comey to reopen Clinton case.
So the email investigation is not closed. It is reopened, if that's the right word. They've found new information that may be pertinent to the Clinton case. They don't yet know, according to Director Comey, whether it's significant. So they're going to look into it. 11 days before the election. If Donald Trump's camp was telling the truth when it said it had a three-pronged strategy to suppress the vote, it would probably add a fourth prong. Let's bring in Fox News Sunday host Chris Waller. This is, I didn't expect this Friday surprise, did you?
No, and this is a big deal.
Yeah.
First of all, I think we're being way too nuanced and being somewhat cautious about saying they're reopening the investigation. The whole reason we know about this is because James Comey, the FBI director, in congressional testimony said that the investigation was complete. And so we had to send a letter to the chairs and top Democrats and all those committees amending his testimony because the investigation is no longer complete. as far as I'm concerned, that is reopening the investigation.
Oh, yeah,
secondly, you have got to know that James Comey did not want to reopen this investigation. A month ago, he was asked by a Republican congressman on the House Judiciary Committee about all the information that had come up since he closed the investigation in July and said, well, why don't you reopen? He said, that doesn't come even close to reopening the investigation. So for him to do that now, just 11 days before the election, and I promise you, he can read the calendar just like all the rest of us, this has to be substantial. Not saying that it's going to put it over the edge and result in a criminal case against Hillary Clinton, but this has to be substantial enough, and you know he didn't want to do this, that he had to, in effect, eat his words, go back to these committees, and announce this investigation fully aware of the bombshell effect this is going to have on the final week and a half of this campaign.
Do you have a sense for how much pressure there will be on him to give voters and others more information, whatever he has?
Well, he, you know, it's interesting. I've got the letter here that he wrote to the committee, and I keep reading it because there's nuance after nuance that you can find in this. And at one point he says, although the FBI cannot yet assess whether or not this material, this new material they have found, these emails may be significant, and I cannot predict how long it will take to complete this additional work. And the point there is, if you look at most FBI investigations, they take a long time. 11 days, they don't clear their throat in 11 days. And if this involves information, and he says one of the things they have to ascertain is whether this new emails, these new emails that, according to the New York Times, came from Uma Abedin and or Anthony Weiner, whether or not there's classified information there, and they have to go back and check this with the intel community, the various agencies that were responsible for this information in the first place, I would have to think it's highly unlikely that this is going to be resolved before Election Day, which, of course, raises the possibility that millions of Americans are going to go to the polls. They're going to the polls right now, but will be going to the polls over the next 11 days up to and including Election Day, not knowing whether or not there's going to be a criminal case against Hillary Clinton.
It is sort of astounding. You wonder, we found out already from the reporting of the New York Times that this is from the Anthony Weiner case. That matter leaked out pretty quickly. I wonder if more context is going to come to us in this sort of behind-the-scenes way that they couldn't really release in written notification because of the fact that the Weiner case is open and it's criminal.
Well,
I mean, if they're going to give us any.
Well, anyway, that's that goes on for a little while longer, but you get the gist of it. I've got the letter from the New York Times, the letter that was actually given to Congress. Let me get on that here. I tried to open it up and it put up a wall blocker, so we'll find it in another source. 637 on the button. Kelly O'Connell, big news, folks. Giant news. The Hillary Clinton investigation over emails was reopened when they found a cache of 650,000 emails. A staggering amount. If one person had to read through all of those, it would probably take years. And the email comes from none other than Huma Abedin, the number one aide from Hillary to Hillary, who some people speculate has been more than an aide to her. And it was from Huma Abedin's husband, Anthony Weiner, because he sexted a picture of himself to a 16-year-old girl. It doesn't get any stranger than that. We'll be right back. 523-1450 on AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, KOBE. at 6:41, and I've been kind of wondering if people are upset with James Comey. What if he made a mistake the first time around, and this is his way to right it? I mean, it's not exactly like it. Let's just say there was an NFL football game, and one team scored a touchdown that it shouldn't have because the receiver stepped out of bounds before he caught the ball. Or he was out of bounds while he was catching the ball, and the referee saw that. So then on the next round, he allows a touchdown on the other team that they shouldn't have had. Just kind of flatten it out. That's not really what happened here. It's the same in question of investigation. The only issue is the effect on the election, but the fact of the matter is the Department of Justice did everything that they could to stop this thing, which is amazing when you think about the fact that he works for the Department of Justice. What he's done cannot be undone. I mean, is what he did wrong, or is it just against the rules? See what I mean? All right. So, but if he did something that was wrong, is it okay if it knocks Hillary out, if she's an evil person, if she was going to destroy the country? I mean, there's a lot of questions out there. There's many people that are backing Hillary who just cannot believe this, because it seemed like Comey was either had come to a conclusion that they wanted, or that he was kind of on their side. And for this to be turned around at the last minute is so extraordinary to look at. But here's the letter. And I found this at Think Progress, which is obviously a pretty progressive site. But this is just, I've already read it. So this is the details of it. Dear Messrs. Chairman, dear chair people, basically. In previous congressional testimony, I referred to the fact that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, had completed its investigation of former Secretary Clinton's personal email server. Due to recent developments, I am writing to supplement my previous testimony. In connection with an unrelated case, which is the Wiener case, the sexting case, the FBI has learned of the existence of emails that appear to be pertinent to the investigation. I'm writing to inform you that the investigative team briefed me on this yesterday, and I agreed that the FBI should take appropriate investigative steps designed to allow investigators to review these emails to determine whether they contain classified information, as well as to assess their importance to our investigation. Although the FBI cannot yet assess whether or not this material may be significant, and I cannot predict how long it will take to complete this additional work, I believe it is important to update your committees about our efforts in light of my previous testimony. So, you know, there's a lot said there, and there's a lot that's really not said. Here's a little bit from, and we've got a phone call here, 523-1450, if you want to call in. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Bill.
Good morning, Bill. Hope you're well, and what's on your mind?
Hey, did you start to think that maybe this is nothing but a diversion and smokescreen?
All right.
And maybe those leaked WikiLeaks emails were actually coming from Anthony Weiner rather than the Russians?
That's funny. That's funny. I don't know if there's any evidence that the Russians are sending out the WikiLeaks. The person who's got the WikiLeaks release is Julian Assange. But I mean, I take up your point. Maybe there's something worse in the WikiLeaks than.
Exactly.
But I mean, the idea that you're going to vote for somebody that could be indicted. I mean, that's got to turn a lot of people off.
Well, he was cautious to say that this could take a long time. So knowing the American voter, they're not going to care, and they're still going to vote for Hillary. In the meantime, I think there's Obama bombshells in those WikiLeaks emails. And again, I think it was Weiner that leaked them. That's how they found this.
Interesting.
When they were looking through his
sexting.
That's how they found it, looking through his sexting stuff. And they need to nip it in the bud before it becomes public.
Yeah. Is that a Chicago accent you have?
Does it show?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you survived Chicago. You can survive anything.
Exactly.
So
just a thought.
No, it's good.
I don't trust anything this administration does, and I think everybody's getting all excited about nothing.
Well, and I mean,
I think it's another cover-up.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Bill. Great points. You know, who knows, folks? All right. So the speculation from Bill is that whatever is coming out of WikiLeaks is bigger than what they have by announcing the indictment. I don't really. It's possible, but there seems to be so much more outrage. But that would be a calculated risk. And the calculated risk would be along the lines of, we've got a bad story that is better than the horrible story that's just about to come out. Let's go with the bad story. I don't know if I believe that. Now, I did read 65% of the people who were polled said the new emails don't mean anything to them. But think about this. This race is down to, I think it was, the last poll I saw was 2 points. Hillary was up 2 points. I would think that it's tied or Trump's ahead at this point, but it's just got to be right there. If 35% of the people polled care about the new emails, 650,000 emails, number one, that this person who works directly for Hillary didn't follow the rules and lied to the FBI, and number two, that 35% of the population could be influenced in their vote because of these emails. I think Hillary's goose is cooked. That's just speculation. We'll take a break here and come back with some weather. It's about 6:55. What is it? What would it mean about a person if they found out about the emails and even their most recent cache of emails and said, I really don't care? What would it say about a person? I mean, to me, that would be, it would bother me if I heard somebody say, one of my friends say, I mean, I'm sure I've got friends that say it, but I don't know. I mean, does nothing this lady does ever rise to the level of, I don't want, you know, I'm not interested in her anymore? Well, her unfavorable numbers are the highest they've ever been. In the meantime, here's Trey Gowdy. And remember, Huma Abedin is now possibly going to be prosecuted for lying to the FBI, although I doubt that's going to happen. But just understand that as part of her, I don't know where these came from, my dog ate my homework excuse. But here's Trey Gowdy talking about the 650,000 Clinton emails.
Was chairman of the House Select Committee on Benghazi that led to the revelation of Hillary Clinton's private email server. He's in Greenville, South Carolina tonight. Congressman, thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I want to start with this quote from the Washington Post talking about Huma Abedin and what she has told friends. It says, quote, top Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin has told people she is unsure how her emails could have ended up on a device she viewed as her husband's computer, the seizure of which has reignited the Clinton email investigation, according to a person familiar with the investigation and civil litigation over the matter. We're talking, according to the Wall Street Journal and others, some 650,000 emails. Congressman.
Yeah, I mean, if she doesn't know how they got on the computer, there aren't that many ways it can happen, Huma. You could have used a computer. Somebody could have forwarded it to your email account. I don't think that's what the Bureau is investigating, how they got there. I think the Bureau is investigating the nature of the emails. And Huma had a chance to turn over all of her devices when she was supposed to, and she chose not to do so. So here we are.
Now, what do you think about this? Here's John Podesta today and one of the Sunday shows talking about this whole thing.
It was long on innuendo, short on facts. So we're calling on Mr. Comey to come forward and explain what's at issue here. You know, so far there's no charge of wrongdoing. There's no charge even that Hillary and the reporting that backs it up coming from anonymous law enforcement sources.
You know what I find funny is all of these evil people that have supported and helped the Clintons wrongdoing over the years. They're so upset. I've seen so many of these Clinton people with tears in their eyes. It just makes me laugh.
Indicates it may not be about her server. It may not be about her at all.
Congressman?
Yeah, that's an old trick, Fred. I mean, blame the cops. If you're being investigated, blame the cops. Jim Comey's not responsible for a single one of the facts at hand. He didn't tell her to use a private server. He didn't tell Huma not to turn over all of her devices. And God knows he didn't tell Anthony Weiner to send sexually explicit texts to allegedly underage people. So Comey's not responsible for any of this. The timing is a direct and natural consequence of decisions that Hillary Clinton made. So I get that Podesta is upset. Brett, remember, he didn't even know about the email situation, and then he thought it had been taken care of by...
All right, get this. FBI requested emails. Hillary Clinton's people went in and they removed emails. Before, this is after they got the subpoena, they erased 30,000 emails. So a lot of this investigation was trying to reassemble the 30,000 emails. I assume that a lion's cache, a lion's share of these 30,000 emails is on Huma's computer. So how do they not reopen it? I mean, that's absurd. You know, Hillary Clinton took this bleach bit and purposefully scrubbed from the computer software the memory of these emails. It did everything she could to hide them. There was obviously something bad on them. Now we've got them back. You got to investigate it. But it all goes back to Hillary. It was Hillary's decision to not cooperate. It was Hillary's decision to dump the emails, scrub the servers, and just basically not cooperate with the FBI. Now, against her will, they've got all the emails and the investigation goes on. Is that really an unjust reaction? As a matter of fact, isn't it the just thing to happen, even if it's during the election? We'll be right back after a break on the Hour. Kelly O'Connell, Emma Schuster, AM 1450. 523-1450 to call in. Okay, so we're in the middle of this giant explosion of 650,000 emails that obviously they're not going to know what's in there in 10 days or probably months, but that's where we're at right now. Hillary Clinton has been very bitter about this. She's the one, if she had just given those 30,000 emails to the FBI, and if her people had cooperated, this thing would be over, or she would be out of the race. But it's unfair to say you shouldn't have reopened this when they didn't cooperate, right? Well, anyway, here we'll take a break from that. Here is the history of Halloween from the History Channel.
When most people think of Halloween, they think of trick-or-treating, parades, bobbing for apples, and other family-friendly activities. But bet you didn't know the true story behind the ancient origins of Halloween. It all goes back some 2,000 years to the ancient Celtic festival known as Samhain, celebrated on November 1st. On the night before Samhain, people believed that the dead returned as ghosts. They would leave food and wine on their doorsteps to keep roaming spirits at bay and wear masks when they left the house so they would be mistaken for fellow ghosts. The Christian church turned Samhain into All Saints Day, or All Hallows, in the 8th century. The night before became All Hallows Eve, later shortened to Halloween. You've heard of trick-or-treating on Halloween, but what about souling or guising? All three of these traditions originated in medieval Britain. On All Souls Day, November 2nd, the needy would beg for pastries known as soul cakes. In return, they would pray for people's dead relatives. This was called souling. In the medieval Halloween tradition of guising, young people would dress up in costume and accept food, wine, money, and other offerings in exchange for singing, reciting poetry, or telling jokes. In 19th century America, Irish and Scottish immigrants revived these old traditions. The result was trick-or-treating. At first, it was much more about the tricks, in the form of pranks and hijinks, than the treats. It wasn't until the 1950s that the custom took on its current family-friendly, kid-centered form. Today, Halloween is big business, with U.S. consumers spending more than $2.5 billion on costumes annually. Add in the candy, and it's estimated that Americans spend up to $6 billion on Halloween each year, making it the second most commercial holiday after Christmas. So whether you're a fan of tricks, treats, or trivia, there's a bit of Halloween history.
We bet you didn't know.
All right, so got some more breaking news for you. It's the worst flooding that they've ever seen over the border, even breaking 2014's record surge from Breitbart. Exclusive immigration officer, border deluge of illegals, aliens is the worst that we've ever seen. The flood of illegal aliens pouring across the southern border has become a crisis situation, worse than the 2014 surge, says ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer from El Paso, Texas, with more than 10 years with the service. And they're saying that they're absolutely overwhelmed by this. They do not have the room for all of these people. They don't have housing. And so they're being released, according to presidential order, into the wind to never be seen again, because that's just what the president wants. So does that help you? Is the president who's about to leave office a person who's interested in you as an average American, and does he do things to help you? Now, the Border Patrol agent from El Paso said, "This is a crisis situation," and this is a quote, "that is not being acknowledged by the administration or the media. I know we had a crisis situation in 2014, but this has by far surpassed that. Our officers are overworked and overrun. We've had to move several officers from our interior enforcement programs in order to address and assist the officers who have to process all of the illegal border crossers and who are getting hammered by the crisis we're facing down here. The safety of American public is at risk," according to this officer. He continues, "Would-be perpetrators have much more of a chance to make it through the system and into our communities. That's a huge concern for us. I don't understand why the administration and the media are not recognizing this as a crisis because of what it is. because that's what it is. By removing officers from enforcement programs, the threat to the American public has increased exponentially. However, many officers we move from enforcement programs to help address this crisis means that there are that many fewer people trying to find criminal aliens, and that poses a threat to public safety. It's an infringement upon our efforts to keep the American public safe. In the past 2 days alone, we're talking in the neighborhood of 200 bodies or more that we have got to find housing for. So anyway, and they've stated that there are people that are living on the border in Texas who are saying that they're, if when they go out into their farm areas on the border of the Rio Grande, they're finding a large number of dead bodies spread out. So for whatever reason, these people coming across are dying. They could be murdered. They might be dying of natural causes. Who knows? All right. So let's get back into this. Let me see if there's any, by the way, let me see if there's any more headlines that you need to hear about. Trying to get more politicians to come on the show, but I'm going to have to cycle back into them. I've never heard from anybody from the Cotter campaign. I guess he doesn't want to come on the air. Doesn't answer his phone. It's interesting. There's no greeting on his phone line. It just rings and rings. All right. Trick or treat. FBI found 650,000 emails and laptop. I already announced that. Department of Justice. Here's an interesting part to this. Department of Justice blocked the foundation probe. They said there's nothing to find there. There's nothing to find in the foundation. Although other people who've studied it say that it's ready for a RICO. It's a criminal enterprise. Police unions post photos of cops arresting Hillary. Clinton's unfavorable rating hits a new high. Trump now targeting blue states, where Hillary was just targeting red states before this broke. A Colorado Democrat complaining Clinton sold her country down the river. One paper, the Chicago Tribune, is asking that Hillary step aside. Swing states are in complete chaos. 22 million ballots are already in. And the Black Swan event could throw votes off course. There's another round of WikiLeaks coming in. It's phase three, and it's supposed to have stuff that's even more startling than what's already been released. But remember, this computer that had 650,000 emails in it is not from WikiLeaks. It's just the result of an investigation into sexting with underage kids from the husband of Hillary's number one advisor. So, and we're not even really, the funny thing is, we're not even talking right now about whether Hillary is too sick to continue. That's kind of fallen by the wayside. 17 killed, dozens wounded in Chicago weekend shootings. President has never really addressed that, has he? I mean, that goes without saying that what the president stands for is so beautiful that he never has to account for anything, because, and it's, I'll bring it up again, it's the messianic, it's the secular atheist messianic view of history that some great man is going to come in from the far left and save the world. There's so many of these people out there. One of them is Obama. Another one is Angela Merkel, the head of Germany. But there's all these leftists who think that they're going to auger in the new age. They're going to bring us into utopia, and they are absolutely slaughtering us with their stupid decisions. They think if they have the right intent, the decisions that they make are bound to be successful in the long term, and it's going to save the world. And to be totally honest, that's Hegelianism, a very ugly philosophical system that's been disproved a million times. Anyway, 716 Kelly O'Connell in Las Cruces, Sam 1450, 523-1450. I've got more coming, and we're going to get into the foundation a little bit too. We'll be right back. Here's some live guitar for you. Thank you. Okay. And Nathan Tiny Small, you're more than welcome to come on the show. All right. So, man, we got so many stories here. It's just astounding. Although I may have opened up too many windows here in my excitement, because now it looks stuck. But in any event, let me see if I can get back to basics here. Wow, there's just so many things to cover. All right, here is the response. What is the response of the Hillary Clinton campaign? Now, I'm going to ask you, as I just already asked you, in case you're just tuning in, by the way, talking about this astounding 650,000 emails that sparked a reopening. If Hillary Clinton did not cooperate with the investigation, which we know is true, because she deleted 30,000 emails after being told to turn all her emails in because they were supposedly personal. If that's true, that she did not cooperate and her aides did not cooperate, we know that's true because Huma Abedin was found with a computer with more than 500,000 emails on it after she said she turned everything in. Is it unfair that this investigation is reopened right before the election? Or on the other hand, is it poetic justice? Now, here is Clinton's response. OMG. I did open too many gosh dang windows. All right. All right. Well, let me announce this to you. It is, I'm going to have to reboot this thing, but it is been put out by Dick Morris, who is the number one helper for Bill Clinton when he was in office, that Trump had already retaken the lead before this reopening of the investigation occurred. So we'll be right back to get into this. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in, and we'll be right back to find out what Hillary's response is.
John Roberts is following the Donald Trump campaign in Las Vegas.
All right, the Supreme Court listening to arguments on whether we should reconsider the closed primary system as of October the 24th. I'll do a little bit more research on that and let you know. And we have an argument over New Mexico on bail in New Mexico. Should money determine freedom? Open mind, pardon me, nmminddepth.com. And this is an ongoing issue that's been debated over what bail should look like and whether everybody should be available to have bail, even if you don't have the money for it, and to be out on bond. So get into those. Let me get into those tomorrow. Some of those, just kind of bring them up. All right. So the debate now over, or the fight now is spreading to North Carolina. The fight over the states is going back to where it was about a month ago. So anyway, there is a path forward for Trump to win, but it's very, very close right now. It is possible that Hillary could win and be under investigation and then be indicted when she's in office. And what she would do, I have no idea, but I cannot imagine that she would leave office while indicted without finding out what was going to happen. She's fought too long to be president, and frankly, the only thing she cares about is power. So from my observation, anyway, here's the Clintons firing back at James Comey, and the pressure on Comey is extraordinary. It took the media about a day to come up with a response, but it's all Comey's fault now.
John Roberts is following the Donald Trump campaign in Las Vegas.
First, we go to our old friend, Mike Emanuel, who's covering the Clinton camp. Mike, good morning.
Tucker, Clayton, Abby, good morning to you. Hillary Clinton is firing back at FBI Director James Comey, calling his handling of her email probe deeply troubling. Clinton was at a campaign stop in Daytona Beach, Florida, when she told supporters that this FBI investigation would not distract her or bring her down. The Democratic nominee also ripped Donald Trump, accusing him of misleading the public on her email issue. But Clinton's toughest criticism was saved for FBI Director Comey.
I'm sure that some of you may have heard about a letter that the FBI director sent out yesterday. Well, if you're like me, you probably have a few questions about it. It's pretty strange to put something like that out with such little information right before an election. In fact, it's not just strange, it's unprecedented, and it is deeply troubling.
Last night here in Miami, singer Jennifer Lopez headlined a free concert for Clinton and her.
Who cares? All these celebrities that are supporting Clinton, it's disgusting. All right. Now, on the Hillary Wiener twist, Hillary Wiener Huma plot twist, check this out.
How crazy the media environment was after the announcement, the letter to Capitol Hill that the FBI Director James Comey, again investigating Hillary Clinton. This was the probe that we all thought was over and done with. Technically, it had never been closed. It exploded like a bombshell on the campaign trail, breaking news banners on every television screen, headlines across the web, except we didn't know very much about it. And this was reported, widely reported, as a reopening of the investigation, new emails discovered that might or might not be relevant. And look, 11 days before an election, this is not what you want if you are the Democratic nominee for president. And it really capped Hillary Clinton's worst week of the general election because it came after daily disclosures that drip, drip, drip of WikiLeaks, particularly about the Clinton Foundation and her own email scandal and her own people questioning her judgment and really reinforcing those doubts that some Americans have about Hillary Clinton's honesty and trustworthiness. But then the thing just kind of went kablooey as journalists scrambled to find out from the Justice Department just what was going on. Hillary Clinton had a kind of a surreal rally in Iowa in which she did not utter a single syllable about this. Suddenly we find out, well, maybe it's not that big a deal. Maybe Comey is just covering his butt. Then we find out that Anthony Weiner is involved. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up, folks. That the FBI, according to sources first reported by the New York Times, found devices in a separate investigation of Anthony Weiner, the former congressman, the guy who is still married to, though separated from, Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's longtime aide and chief loyalist in this campaign. He came under investigation because he found out, because it developed that he was sexting with apparently with a 15-year-old girl. And so maybe it's hard to know that, you know, Hillary Clinton emails from Hillary Clinton were found on Huma Abedin's device. Maybe she shared them with her husband. Maybe she did something with them. This could in the end be minor, but it also could be huge. And with 11 days to go at the time that this happened, it's hard to know whether this will be resolved by Election Day. So, of course, it's a big story. Of course, the media have to cover it, but we are sort of flying blind here. And here's the irony. If you listen to the commentators on the left and the commentators on the right, the conservatives who would just bash Comey over the head for making a decision not to submit this for criminal charges, now suddenly, wow.
Well, the irony is obvious. The people on the right were thrilled, were infuriated when he didn't indict her. Now they're thrilled that he has reopened the investigation. But if he should have, if Comey should have indicted her before, then that's still on him, and they'd have a different candidate right now. Who knows who'd be in the race for the Democrats? But you know that they wouldn't have this cloud over their head. The Democrats brought this on themselves, and Hillary deleted 33,000 emails. How can she possibly complain when these emails resurface? How is it possible? We'll take a break. 7:32 a.m. Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. Call in and give your opinion, and I'm going to switch on to the foundation.
Thank you.
All right. So right now, Trump is not even, he's in the shadows right now, or he's not giving speeches, but nobody's talking about him. Everybody's talking about this new investigation or the reopened investigation on the emails from years ago. Now, let's switch to WikiLeaks for just a moment. We just need to consider all of the storms that are coalescing into a superstorm against Hillary.
A bombshell new batch of WikiLeaks emails now revealing a link between Hillary Clinton's campaign and CNN. Dump 23, that's how many have come out so far, of John Podesta's emails showing Clinton's chief strategist secretly forwarding an email from a CNN source to aides and staffers in the Hillary Clinton campaign titled, Heads Up Between Us. Well, in it, the CNN source alerts the Clinton campaign to favorable poll numbers before the polls release, which is a big no-no. Now, all of this, as the secret sharing site warns phase three of its election coverage, is now on its way.
All right, so we know that the media, Politico especially, but also CNN and many other news organizations, were in the tank for Clintons. And so the fact of the matter is that you can't really look at anything without running into that. And so these, who knows what these last few days are going to bring in terms of leaks. But I mean, the Hillary has got to trigger some or leak some stuff onto Trump. I'm thinking they got to have more on Trump, more rude things that he said. I think we've gotten to the point, though, that it doesn't really matter. Now, here's a question. Will WikiLeaks releases trigger audit of Clinton Foundation?
So we have more WikiLeaks documents concerning Chelsea Clinton's role at the Family Foundation amid reports that she was worried about potential ethical problems. A Wall Street Journal editorial says the notes confirm many fears, saying, quote, this excerpt and all the potential conflict it describes, plus Chelsea's warnings about business hustling and foundation events, would see more than ample cause to trigger an IRS audit of the foundation. Joining me now, Glenn Hall, U.S. News Editor for the Wall Street Journal. So this is the editorial board writing a big piece about the WikiLeaks documents dumps, saying we don't condone the practice of hacked, stolen information, but now that it's out there, we have to talk about it. It's been a big week for those dumps, Glenn. What do you think, bottom line, is the biggest headline to emerge?
Well, the one that the editorial board was talking about is probably the most significant we've seen of all the WikiLeaks documents that have come out. This is Doug Band, longtime aide to President Clinton when he was in the White House and after, stayed with him, revealing in very detailed terms how he and his partners both raised money for the foundation as one of the major fundraising groups and also steered business to Bill Clinton, over $100 million worth of business opportunities, and in many cases detailed how they were doing this with the same group of donors, asking them to do both things.
Is it illegal?
Not clear that it's illegal, but what the risk was that Chelsea Clinton was flagging and the lawyers that this was a memo to were concerned about whether there was enough distance between the charitable contributions and the for-profit contributions and whether their charitable status of the foundation was in any way put in jeopardy.
Because you have to earn that status to keep it.
And there are clear laws about keeping a distinction between your for-profit and your non-for-profit activities. And were those lines blurred? That's the big question.
The Attorney General of New York State took a look at Donald Trump's charity. And because of that, the charity had to stop fundraising in this particular state. What do you think questions should be raised about the status of the Clinton Foundation? And do you expect to see any of those questions officially raised by the IRS or otherwise?
Well, so far we haven't seen that happen. And in many cases, like with the you just mentioned with the Schneiderman's look at Donald Trump's foundation, that was initiated not by the IRS, but by the New York State Attorney General. And the other ones we saw were also in Florida, where there was questions raised. So you could expect the possibility that, you know, there are state attorneys general that might take a look at it. But here we're also talking about politics, right? And whether you're a Democratic attorney general or Republican attorney general, and you know, a Democratic White House and IRS, we've seen that there haven't been as much follow through on some of these things as we would have expected on the FBI side and other things. There have been a lot of criticisms that the Obama administration was assisting the Clintons.
Well, let's take a break here, and we'll be right back.
I see.
What's with these people, man? Lemonade. Read the sign. Lemonade.
Okay.
Delicious.
Iced tea at a lemonade stand? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much money Marin saved by switching to Geico.
A week and 2 days before the election, and more than 15 million people have already voted.
All right, it's 7:43. It's the 31st. It's Halloween, and going to be a big get together, including a Mayor Miyagashima look-alike. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Chuck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I listen to the radio a lot, of course, especially when I'm getting ready for work. And there's a lot of advertising. There's an organization, Patriot Majority in New Mexico.
Yes.
There's a couple others, but I hear they're spending tremendous amounts of money on advertising, and just in this county, I imagine it's elsewhere. I'm very, very curious, especially on this Patriot Majority people, who they're connected with and where their money comes from.
All right.
And I'm wondering if anybody has done any research
on that. Well, I have actually done some research on it because I couldn't figure out where the ads were coming from. It's coming from two sources. One is a gun lobby that was put together by Mayor Bloomberg, and although these ads have nothing to do with guns, number one. And number two, the second one is a union ad, but they're both from the Far East. I mean, or not the Far East, but they're from the Northeast, and they've decided to invest in the political activities of the state. In addition to that, George Soros has put in $100,000 into the Albuquerque DA's race. So they're trying to flip the House and the Senate here to the Democrats. So, I mean, and, you know, I've tried to get everybody on the show who's had ads against them, but for some reason, what's his name? Cotter, welcome back. Cotter is not available, but I've tried to give everybody an opportunity to come on and talk about him. And I know the ads about Andy Nunez and Dr. McMillan were false. They had false information in them, but and they've both been on. But when you hear an ad day after day after day, it does seem to sink in, you know?
Yeah, I'm really not surprised that Bloomberg and Soros are involved in this. It's amazing that these people so far away will reach out this far to affect a election. And it really kind of raises questions of what they're objective is when they do things like this.
Well, and I mean, you know, don't forget, this is also a discussion about worldviews. People who are on the far left are not religious, or their religion is, you know, it's you know, they're not Bible believers, et cetera. They don't believe in a life after this life. Everything that can happen, good or bad, to people happens in this life. Therefore, you have to throw yourself into politics. You have to create a utopia. You have to do whatever you lie, cheat, or steal. I think that why a lot of people are supporting Hillary is they bought into this bigger picture. And even though she's totally corrupt and her, Obama's totally incompetent, they don't care because they're all on this train that's moving towards utopia. That's what's happening in their minds. So to invest in these races makes perfect sense to them.
Yeah. It's you start from the bottom, and once you build your foundation, I guess you build up on that. But I don't know. I'm getting pretty old now, but I've seen a lot of politics over my years, and I've never seen anything quite this bad, quite this dirty. The attack ads, vandalism.
I'd like to know, and I agree 100%. Why doesn't Nathan Tiny Smalls get out and say, "I apologize, I didn't put these ads out. They're not totally accurate. I'm Nathan. Here's why to vote for me." These people are all in. It's colluded. I mean, there is an agreement. There's some sort of organization. I don't know what exactly it looks like, but it's not happening in a vacuum. We have another call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say you are who you vote for. That's all I wanted to say.
Who are you voting for? The most corrupt person in U.S. history, Joe? Are you supporting Hillary Clinton? Who are you voting for that makes you such a great person? I'm honestly curious. What is it?
I'm going to vote for Trump. You know, I like what he said. You people, he says, are allowing a baby that's going to be born the next day to be murdered.
It's astounding that a woman that gets up and says you can kill a baby up to the time that its head pops out the birth canal is being seriously considered. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the program. This is Kelly. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Roger, what's going on? Are you still in love with Hillary?
Hell no, I've never been. I think Trump is.
Well, so what's going on? What's going on?
Hey, I just want to say today's Halloween, man. So you know what I'm going to be for Halloween?
What's that?
A presidential candidate, because anybody can be one. You can be a liar, you can be sick, you can be unfit, you can be a narcissist, you can be a power-hungry person. Anybody can be one now. So that's what I'm going to be for Halloween.
Well, congratulations. Enjoy your stuff yourself on the candy, Roger. All right, folks. Okay, so you are who you vote for. So, yeah, I was saying that earlier. Okay, so whether this is true or not, I've known many, 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 many people on the left in my life and have been friends with a fair number. Some people are on the left because they want to help people. And they see that they believe the social net is bigger on the left. And it doesn't get much deeper than that. Other people are on the left because they want the government to be more activist and to take control of people's lives. And other people on the far left want the government to enact a tyranny to take away the rights for people in the middle and on the right from doing anything that they want. And, I mean, if you're on the left and you... In this town, there's a lot of people that are Democrat because their families were Democrat growing up. They can't imagine not being Democrat, but they're really relatively conservative people. And some of those people are going to be voting for Trump. Some are going to be voting for Johnson. Others are going to support Hillary. But, I mean, you know, this is the election of a lifetime. If Hillary Clinton gets in there, what would she do? So here's a little bit. Anyway, from O'Reilly on the Clinton Foundation. Remember, a lot of these problems are coming out of the Clinton Foundation, this supposed charity that Hillary claimed gives 90% of its money to charitable activities, in which analysts say they give 5%. And they definitely ripped off Haiti to Just go look at it. What is Haiti, after getting billions of dollars, what is the area where the earthquakes occurred look like? And the Clintons knew that the media would cover it up. Think about that. The media has to cover up everything that Hillary does just so people will support her. But anyway, here we go.
Impact segment tonight, how the Clinton Charitable Foundation is being run. And that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Hackers have released new information taken from emails stolen from John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, that show the Clinton Foundation is run more like a business than a charity. This man, Douglas Bann, was a top fundraiser for the foundation, but at the same time, he was running a company called Teneo and booking speeches for Bill Clinton. So Mr. Bann was a very busy guy. Not only did he bring in millions of dollars to the foundation, he set up millions of dollars in speaking fees for Bill Clinton and a hefty income for himself, consulting with some folks who donated money to the foundation. It's a tangled web, but you get the picture. Money went to charity. Money went to Bill Clinton. Money went to Doug Bann. In addition, factors studied the 2014 tax return from the Clinton Foundation, the latest available. According to this document filed with the IRS, millions were spent on non-charitable expenses. In 2014, the Clinton Foundation received $338 million in revenue. Wow. 64% of that money went for charitable purposes. The rest was either saved, spent on administrative expenses, or invested. Including in the expenses are lavish salaries for Clinton pals. Then CEO Eric Braverman received $532,000 in total compensation. Not bad. Bruce Lindsay, almost $400,000. Mark Gunton, $314,000. Maura Paley, $284,000, and Dennis Chang, almost $270,000 in total compensation. In addition, Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton used private jets to fly around on foundation business. That's legal, but rare. Charities usually use scheduled airlines to save money. To be fair, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton are very high profile people. Secret Service agents are needed, but there's no question the private air travel afforded them an opportunity to do whatever they wanted to do and go wherever they wanted to go. That is a huge advantage for a politician planning to run for president, is it not? Talking Points believes the Clinton Foundation is a joint venture, business, political, and charitable. The Clintons figured out how to accomplish all three things under the foundation banner. It is left to you, the voter, to decide whether that is ethical. One footnote, I run my own charitable foundation named after my parents. I take nothing, nothing, no salary, no travel, no expenses. Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton do not take salaries, but they certainly have benefited from the money the foundation has received.
And they say it's $100 million or $100 billion off the books, and on the books it's $2 billion. But they're either worth about half of what Trump is worth through the foundation, or they're worth 50 times as much as Trump. So when Hillary gets up and attacks people for being rich and stuff. All right, here's something that I thought was interesting. Doug Schoen talking about the impact of these new revelations on his vote. And he's on Fox News. He's a former pollster, and he's good friends with the Clintons.
At the request of Chelsea Clinton.
This is a story. And wait, I've got to prep that here. But let me just get to this real quick here. Just a second. And I've got for you, I thought it was kind of a touching response that this guy, he seems personally shaken. I don't understand supporting the Clintons up to this point and then saying, I suddenly have a problem with them. I mean, you must be blind. Here's Doug Schoen.
Just a matter of months. And so I want to get your focus now.
Yeah.
Just put you in the tractor beam. What is your reaction to the FBI reopening its case?
As you know, I have been a supporter of Secretary Clinton.
We all know. Yes.
Right. You do know. But, and the but is a big deal, at least to me. Given that this investigation is going to go on for many months after the election,
No matter who wins.
No matter who wins. But if the Secretary of State wins, we will have a president under criminal investigation with whom Aberdeen under investigation, the Secretary of State, the president-elect, should she win, under investigation. Harris, under these circumstances, I am actively reassessing my support. I'm not a Trump.
Wait a minute.
Right.
You're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton?
Harris, I'm deeply concerned that we will have a constitutional crisis if she's elected.
Wow.
I want to learn more this week, see what we see. But as of today, I am not a supporter of the Secretary of State for the nation.
How long have you known the Clintons, Doug?
I've known the Clintons since 94.
Wow.
That's hard. I've known them since 72.
But their friend here has said that he's reconsidering.
I have to, because of the impact on the governance of the country and our international situation.
All right. So the news in that is, are there other people, I would imagine, like Doug Schoen?
All right. There's got to be more people like that out there. Here's a little bit from Texas. Trump has hidden majority of early voters.
A week and 2 days before the election, and more than 15 million people have already voted.
And a record in Texas, where turnout apparently is up nearly 50% from even the last presidential election.
It's a surge of early voters. Our next guest says that in Texas, many of them are not coming out for Hillary Clinton. He is the Texas Agriculture Commissioner, Sid Miller, and he joins us now to explain. Mr. Miller, thanks for coming on this morning.
Love your hat.
So you're saying...
Good morning, Tucker. Good morning, Abby.
Typically, early voting helps Democrats. That's the cliche anyway. But you're saying it's different in Texas. Why do you say that?
Well, we've had a huge turnout here in Texas. We're up, like you said, 150%. We've already, just the first week of early voting, had almost 1 million people vote. Last election, it was a little over 600,000. So they're turning out. And I don't think it's Bernie's supporters that are excited about coming out for Hillary. I don't think it's Barack Obama supporters coming out for Hillary. I think it's the untapped masses out there that have never registered to vote, or if they have, it's been 8 or 10 elections, and they're not in the polls. The polls are wrong. They're oversampling Democrats from 8 to 16%. They're oversampling women, 5 to 8%. Of course, they're undersampling Republicans, but there's 20 to 25% of the electorate that have never voted before, and they.
All right, so there's the claim, and the idea is that there is a different reality to the support for Trump than there is on top of the media. And in the meantime, Hillary Clinton has been being hit by a barrage that is so big that she has turned into a wounded and ferocious animal fighting for its life, snarling and snapping at James Comey. And who does she have to blame for this? Huma, to begin with, but really herself. And as each day the sand ticks away, the opportunities for Hillary may be over. Who knows? 7:59, Kelly O'Connell, thanks for tuning in. And I will take you out with some Mediterranean Sundance with Paco de Lucia, Al Diamola, and John McLaughlin. Have a great Halloween. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. On KOBE. Ciao.